Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Good morning, Central Assembly. It's fantastic to be here today. My voice is a little louder than I was expecting it to be, so give me a second to get used to that. I am going to, as Pastor Carter did mention, last night was a big night in our family. I'll share a little bit about that, but I am going to start by sharing, as I'm the newest member of the pastoral team here at Central, I'm going to just share 5, 6, maybe even 7 things that I have loved about being on staff here at Central. The first thing is, and this is really my husband's thing, he came to me about 2 weeks ago, and he said, "Crystal, did you know they have hot chocolate in the foyer?" He's not really a coffee guy. And he's like, they have hot chocolate here. And it's really good hot chocolate. So something we love about Central is you have hot chocolate. I don't know who picked it, but great work. We love it here at Central. Second thing I love about Central is when I come up here for our prayer time and I look over the audience, I look and I see worshipers everywhere in this entire congregation. I've always been a front row dweller. I just really like the front few rows, and partially because I'm easily distracted, but also because oftentimes people that are like really engaged in worship like come to the front row, but not in this church. I mean, we have worshipers all the way up in the balcony. Good job, guys. I love that. We are engaged in the services. The third thing I love is we have fantastic kids here at Central. And there's something about these, we have a few really, I call them large families. I only had 2 children, so you know, you get 3, 4, I think you have like a herd of kids. But we have some, you know, 4, even 5, maybe 6 or 7 kids and family that are just little chickies that walk behind their parents. And sometimes I go in the foyer and I'm like, I look at Pastor Joel, and when he has all of them by himself, I'm like, wow, this is fantastic. Pastor Anthony and Cynthia's oldest daughter, I've had one conversation with her, but I've decided I want to be friends with her, and potentially we need to exchange numbers. We have fantastic kids here at Central. Fourth, there are so many spiritual mentors here at Central Assembly. And I kind of feel when I come here on Sunday morning, it doesn't really matter what I'm going through or what I need or what I need advice for. It's like there's literally an expert in almost any area sitting on these pews. And so if I have recently met a new Muslim friend, there's somebody here I can go talk to. If I've met somebody else, I just feel like we have so many significant spiritual mentors in this church. Can I tell you, there's no reason to ever be lonely because there are hundreds of people to run to in this church if you need a touch from God. I am very thankful. And you know, spiritual mentors, I also find that celebrate the young and celebrate youth and celebrate what God is doing in the next generation. Can I tell you also, I love being in a community that I can be considered youth at times. Especially when I went to camp meeting this week, it was fantastic. As Pastor Carter mentioned, I work with college students, so I am always the veteran and always the elder. So thank you, Central Assembly, for making me the youth. I love it. Fifth thing I love about Central, and it really came to me one day when I was here at Central. As we mentioned, Central is used for all different kinds of community events during the week. So I was here at Central, and it was not for a Central event. It was actually for our Assembly of God World Missions commissioning service. And I'm sitting over here, kind of in this area where our guests are today. And as I was sitting there, I had worked all day. I had been in meetings all day. I had not gone home. I don't even think I'd eaten dinner. And I came to this service at, I think it was at 7 o'clock, maybe 6:30, kind of worn out. I need something to drink. I'm thinking I wish I had coffee or I had something. And all of a sudden, something hit me. I am a pastor at this church, and I have keys. And there are rooms in this church that have like Keurigs and snacks. And I have keys to those rooms. I hope Pastor Bradford, if he's listening, is not thinking I'm misusing my keys. But at that moment, I found a special room, and I used my special keys, and I came out with a special coffee and a smile on my face. And I think I was way more engaged in that missionary service because of the power of keys. I love being a pastor. Many other things. I've met people in this church as I'm new that are new like me. Been here a few weeks, a few months. I also met a young lady who was here in her first weeks of life. Her mother brought her, and now she is in her 70s. How fantastic is that? That we have people that have loved Central and seen God move in this community for years. I love that about Central. One of my very first, maybe my second or third services at Central, there was a prophetic word that came forth, and it was someone in the choir shared about coming home, about being home. And of course, we are at home in God's house, in God's community. But the Lord really quickened to my heart that in this community of Central Assembly of God, that I am at home. So thank you for welcoming me here. Thank you for welcoming my family, my husband Scott, who's on the front row. We both feel at home among this community. The last thing I love about Central, and if we'll move to the next slide, this is a picture of my dad and I. Here is a cool thing about my dad. My parents have been my pastors since I was a little girl. I'm actually a fifth generation ordained minister in the Assemblies of God. So I have lived the history many of you have lived through my family. I am the first ordained woman minister, but can I tell you, I am not the first woman minister in my family. My mom and grandma sit over there and they can preach. You don't always need a credential to preach, my friend. I have to say this. But my dad has been my pastor. He started in Arizona. I grew up in Arizona. And then my husband and I moved. I'll share a little bit more about this in a moment. We moved here to Springfield with a very strong call on our lives. A few years later, my parents came to pastor the small church that God had called us to serve in, Brighton Assembly of God. It's north toward Bolivar. We got to be a part of a 20-year church revitalization together, where we saw the church grow from 30 to 500 in a county where there are way more cows than people. And it was a fantastic journey. The cool thing about this is my dad's name is Pastor Jim. How fantastic is that? When I moved to Central Assembly, I didn't even have to change names. And even cooler thing about it is I hear Pastor Jim, our Central Pastor Jim, Pastor Bradford, and he'll often talk about his childhood. And when he talks about his childhood, he'll talk about like his mother talking to him, and his mother always called him Jimmy. Guess what? My dad's real full name is Jimmy, and all of his family call him Jimmy. I feel right at home. I haven't even had to change names. So thank you, Central Assembly. I love being a part of this community. Thank you for mentoring me, walking with me, and I'm excited to see what God has for our future. All right, I'm going to go to the next slide, and you are actually the first people to see this. This was last night. My younger son, who is right in the middle, Marcus, married his high school sweetheart, Molly. So I gained a daughter-in-law last night. How fantastic is that? They were high school sweethearts in Willard. So we have lived in Willard the past 15 years. And it was a fantastic night. It was officiated by three people, myself, my husband, and my dad. And Marcus and Molly wrote their own vows, and can I just tell you that they preached their vows? So now, in real honesty, there were five people preaching that wedding. It was fantastic and unique, and Jesus was definitely with us. Mercer, my son, who's here with me today, sitting on the second row, he just graduated. He's on the far, your far right. He just graduated from Missouri State University and is headed to Washington University Law School under the tutelage of Rich Hammer. Like I said, we have lots of spiritual mentors here. He'll be heading to law school in St. Louis in just a couple of weeks. And as a man of God, he and his brother both have been very involved in Chi Alpha at Missouri State University, and God has his hand on both of them. My husband, who is on your left, E. Scott Martin, who sits on the first row, is my greatest champion and the love of my life for the past 24 years. We have been on an incredible marriage journey, an incredible ministry journey for the past 24 years. I do have a bit of a cheering section over here. Some of them came to hear me, but most of them came because it was a wedding yesterday. So my husband's parents are here. We have friends of the family from Arizona. Sisters, I am just grateful to have so much family and so many people that stand with me, and so thank you for being here this morning. I'm so thankful that Marissa and her family is sitting right next to us, because Marissa, who just dedicated her two young boys to the Lord, was in my missionette class when she was 12 years old. She was a star, and my boys were not much older than her boys are now. So what a cool story that her family is sitting amongst us today. So a little bit more about some of the things I do. As Pastor Carter said, we'll go to the next slide. On the other side of the road, my husband and I moved to Springfield with a strong call of God on our lives. And really the passion that we had kind of welling up in our belly is that God was calling us to lead this generation to the nation. And he was going to use Chi Alpha college students to lead the way. So we loaded up a U-Haul. My husband was a campus pastor, campus missionary at the University of Arizona at the time. We loaded up and moved to Springfield in a big U-Haul 20 years ago with a passion in our heart to see this generation mobilized in missions. And can I tell you, over the past 20 years, we have seen God mobilize thousands. I am so grateful that we are preparing right now for our Fifth World Mission Summit, where we invite all of our Chi Alpha students together and we challenge them to give a year of missionary service and pray about a lifetime. I often quote our own David Grant, who once said, "I don't even know if I was called to missions. I just volunteered." When I talk to our college students, I say, "The Mormons have been giving 2 years. We've been giving excuses." Who's willing to give a year and pray about a lifetime of missionary service? We've seen thousands of young people mobilized around the world. Presently, my husband is the director of National Chi Alpha, and I still have stepped into that role of directing our cross-cultural missions roles, which include our global expeditions, our international student ministry. I get to work very closely with Savo and Christina Lawali. What a privilege that is as we see international students come to Christ. I'm also, as Carter mentioned, the director of the Network of Women Ministers. And I just want to read this one quote, if you'll go to the next slide. 25% of our credential holders in the Assemblies of God are women. But can I tell you, when I work among our Chi Alpha college students and among our AG university students, there is a passion in the hearts of young women that will not be quenched. And that number, I will guarantee you, will grow. What is our belief statement? The image of God is best reflected, and the Church of Jesus Christ is healthiest when both men and women are empowered to fulfill their calling at every level of ministerial leadership. Friends, that's who we are as the Assemblies of God in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I have my dad saying amen. I got it. All right, so let's go to our theme scripture for the series we've been working through. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. As we've been listening to Pastor Bradford so beautifully walk us through the book of Acts, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. You will hear Pastor Bradford almost every Sunday and at almost every staff meeting that I've been in attendance, that he feels the wind of the Spirit on his back. And I feel like as a congregation, I hope you are also feeling the wind of the Spirit on your back, that the Holy Spirit is moving us somewhere corporately. Do you feel it? I feel it every Sunday. The Holy Spirit, not just individually, but corporately. The way that I've been envisioning it is almost like the tectonic plates underneath us are moving. And can I tell you, I have a great awakening spirit in my belly that God is going to do something new in our midst, and he is moving us corporately to where he wants us to go, not by might, nor by power, but by his Spirit. Today, we're going to look, I'm so excited about this. Our text today, we're going to get a little bit out of Acts, but don't worry, we're going to start in Acts, and I'm going to get you to the prophet and the judge, Deborah. We're going to look at Judges 4 and 5 today. Now, if you go to the next slide, you will see, I was recently in Israel, and I had this ambition over the summer to study the seven female prophets of the Old Testament, according to Jewish tradition. And I began to study them and dig in and learn more about these women, female prophets. But you can't help, as you're studying these incredible women, you cannot help but get stuck on Deborah. She has two full chapters dedicated to her story, and she wrote one of those chapters, which makes her a very fantastic figure. So I was studying, actually, Deborah when I was in Israel, so I became fascinated with palm trees. The message of my sermon today is what happens under a palm tree can change the world. And I got fascinated. I was like, you know, remember Elisha and Elisha and Elisha wanting the double portion of the blessing? I got under as many palm trees as I could asking for a Deborah anointing. This particular palm tree was near the Sea of Galilee, which was not exactly where Deborah was, but I'm not a strong detail person. So I was like, this one's going to work. It's close enough. I'm in Israel. I'm getting my picture taken under this palm tree. So there was my Deborah palm tree. But before we get to our text, I am going to start us in Acts because I want us, go ahead and go to the next slide. I actually want us to frame our look at Deborah through a very common passage we find in the book of Acts. It's actually a passage that Brother Bradford has already taken us through, but I'm going to go back. I said my background is in education. I'm a teacher, so we're going to have a little review on a scripture we have already looked at. The setting of this word is Peter coming forth after the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that first Pentecostal outpouring for the amongst the early church. Peter comes out. Everybody thought these people are drunk. They're swaying around. They don't know. They're speaking in all kinds of languages. What's happening? And Peter comes up, and I feel like he preached the first, what I like to call, Pentecostal message. Inspired of the Holy Spirit. And he quotes the prophet Joel and says this, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." I have good news for us today. This moment that you and I are sharing are the most last days there has ever been. We are living in a very last moment. So let's think this scripture is for us. "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Now, in all honesty, this could have ended right there, because all flesh means what? All flesh. It means everybody. But I feel like God knew we would need qualifiers, because as human beings living in culture, we often put qualifiers to all flesh, because whether it is overt prejudice or unknown bias, we often leave people out of the all flesh blessing. And so God had to kind of clarify, what do you mean by all flesh? So here we go. "I will pour out my Spirit on your sons and your daughters. Both men and women shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and what will they do? They shall prophesy. See, we needed these clarifiers because our culture, sometimes if you're in a matriarchal culture, there's an emphasis on a woman's voice. If you're in a patriarchal culture, it is the men that often own the power and the authority and make the decisions for the culture. But what is God saying? Whatever your culture is, I'm going to be pouring my spirit out on men and women, young and old. Both you're young and you're old. In many cultures, especially biblical cultures, and many cultures around the world, the emphasis in the power is given to the old. You really do not have a voice and cannot speak until you are wise and aged. Even if you look at the first chapter of Jeremiah's calling, he quickly responded, "But I am too young." Because in his culture, it was the older ones that had voice, authority, the power. But God's saying, I'm pouring my spirit out on the young and the old, right? In our culture, sometimes we have it reversed. We are a youth-focused culture, but that doesn't matter, camp meeting folks. He's pouring his spirit out on the young and the old, and you better get in the waters and lead the way. Even on the servants am I pouring out my spirit. Even those who have no voice in a culture, the very least of these, I am pouring out my spirit. A few verses or chapters later, we see Peter with an encounter, a significant encounter with Cornelius, where he had a vision and he had an encounter with a Gentile in which the gospel was quickly open. Young, old, men, women, even your servants. In Acts 11:18, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So we have in these scriptures those places where sometimes culture creates differentiation. Pentecost opened up. This new end-time revival opened up and said, no, I am pouring out my spirit on all flesh. And to Peter's, he couldn't even hardly grasp it, even though he'd already heard the Great Commission, go make disciples of all nations. See, sometimes every generation has to relearn this because of their culture, even to the Gentiles, even the uttermost parts of the earth. I think in an earlier part, he said, wow, God doesn't show favoritism. Is this not an incredible piece of revelation? Every generation has to get that and walk in the Pentecostal message of inclusion. Next, our next slide. I put these up here because I really believe, this is just my own, I didn't read this in a book, but if I could think of two great influencers of our past century, I would look at Mother Teresa and Billy Graham, who led the way in so many areas of Christendom. And we look to them, and oftentimes I've heard my mom say before, who is going to be our next Billy Graham? Who's going to rise up as our next Mother Teresa? Who's going to be the influencers that are going to change culture, usher in an awakening? Doesn't it feel sometimes yucky out there as we're walking in our culture? You kind of feel like you're waiting in evil. We're waiting in just apostasy and idolatry, and we feel it in our culture. Who's going to rise up? I respect these people incredibly. But guess what, people? There will be a generation that finishes his work on this earth. As there was a generation that held baby Jesus, played with boy Jesus, and walked with man Jesus, there will be a generation that finishes his work on this earth. And I truly believe, as I shared with you, I have awakening in my belly. That generation will not simply be looking for a hero. That generation will rise up and be a hero. That generation will rise up and be a hero. I'm going to go through this next scripture very quickly. You're like living stones. You're being built up. First Peter, we're going a little bit. I want us to just see this hero generation as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. We are chosen and precious. You're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare his praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Here's the bottom line. We're going to get to Deborah so quickly, my friends. We're going to speed. This is the longest introduction you've ever had to get you to a text. Here's the bottom line. I didn't want to get to Deborah until I got to the fact that there is no such thing as an ordinary Christ follower. There was a song sung at my husband and I's wedding. It was Ordinary Christians. God used ordinary Christians. Can I say that song is false? Because there are no ordinary Christians. If you are a Christ follower and are walking in obedience to his words and his ways, and you are allowing him to guide you and to lead you, you are not ordinary. You are extraordinary. You can look to Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and say, God, I need that kind of anointing, but you better be willing to step up and bring that kind of anointing, because that is who you are. You are precious. You are chosen. You are a holy priesthood. Let's be a hero. With that, let's go straight to Deborah. We're going to start in Judges 4, 1 through 3. This is a very common scene. Remember, we're looking at Deborah through the lens of every woman and every man, not the lens of spiritual heroes. Okay? Because, by the way, you are a spiritual hero. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Very used to this after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Years. We're really used to this kind of a passage. What do we see here? We see people doing evil. We see oppression. We see 900 chariots of iron. So this is like the highest technology of the day as far as war machinery. They had the highest technology. We see oppression. We see cruelty. Let's go to the next verse. Here's where it comes. Insert your name. Now, Deborah. At times we feel, as we live in Judges 4, 1 through 3, apostasy, idolatry. Insert your name. Now, Deborah. Now we get her job description. A prophetess. The wife of Lapidoth was judging Israel at the time. I gave you a little bit of my job description. We get Israel. She's a prophet. She's a judge. She's a wife. Now, I'm an educator, and can I tell you, as an educator, one of the biggest parts of my learning experiences was this concept of role modeling. Whether you're teaching history, English, math, it doesn't matter. We were taught that kids need to see themselves in their adults. They need to see themselves in the history. They need to see themselves in the future. So books we read to kids, they need to see themselves in it so that they can dream. I was very conscious about that as a teacher. I'm very conscious as a role model. And I pray that even me being in this pulpit today will say to every young woman who hears my voice, yes, I can. I'm a big proponent of role models. At the same point, Deborah had none. She may have heard stories of Miriam, but her culture, it was not common for a woman to step up primarily as a ruling judge. Very, very uncommon in this period of time. Can I tell you, friends, as I mentioned, I have great awakening in my belly. I believe God is going to do a new work on this earth. There will be people that have to step up in a Deborah anointing and go places that they have not seen others go before them. Sometimes I look at Deborah, compare her to Mary, the mother of Jesus. Could anybody mentor her in how to raise a Messiah? nope, I don't think so. How do you discipline a Messiah? Did he even need discipline? I don't know. I would have hated to be that, trying to wrestle with that one. Sometimes, in order to do extraordinary things, remember we're praying God allows us to be a hero, not just look for one. My colleague and friend Savoe Lawalee often says that role models give permission and give example. I pray we have role models that do that, but I also pray we continue to have people that will step up into the unknown and go where no one has gone before. Friends, one other piece of this is our young generation has more understanding of this technology than we probably ever will. And we are going to have to learn to mentor a generation that's going to go further, and I'm even saying gospel further, because of knowledge that they have that we don't have. Are we ready to not only step into new destinies, are we willing to mentor those next to us who may go further and go to different places than we have gone or been? Now Deborah, now Crystal, now Scott, now Gil, now Brooke, put your name in. She used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. This was her beachhead of authority, where she honed her listening ear and her speaking voice. This is where she heard the voice of the Lord, and she spoke the things of God. Friends, I feel very honored. I almost think of this pulpit as a palm tree that I get to stand under. And in a sense, your minister is a judge among our community, where the role of this, our musicians, our worshipers, is to have a very similar role to Deborah. The role of Deborah as a judge was not simply to judge land disputes like Billy Bob and, you know, Jimmy John come in and, you know, land disputes. In that judgment, she was moving the hearts of God who had fallen into idolatry and apostasy back toward God. That is the role of a judge. And how honored do I feel to stand at this pulpit? And I pray the convicting power of the Holy Spirit is strong in this room, so our hearts that have been touched by culture are moved back to the things of God, the thinking of God, the ways of God. But can I tell you, a great missionary among us, a missionary, Randy Hurst, spoke a few years ago at a missionary commissioning service, and he said this. He said that he believes that any place that can be reached by a minister in a pulpit and an arena of people has already been reached. Here's what he said. We need a commando group of Navy SEAL trained people that are willing to go to the crooks and crannies of this earth and share the gospel. I hesitate to say this, but I'm going to, that I'm not sure that even these pulpits, these conventional pulpits that we have in Springfield, Missouri, are going to be enough. Because as we look at church growth ratios, most new people that we get in a church are Christians that are just moving around. I'm not sure that this palm tree is going to be enough. If you, as called people, royal priesthood, do not create a palm tree in the sphere of your influence, when you are honing your spiritual ear to listen to God and speaking your spiritual voice to speak His word, to call this lost and dying world, please do not pray for revival. I need you to bring revival. That is how you will bring revival. My friend Leah Wilson, who's sitting right on this back row, Leah and Joel are new members to Central. We're so grateful to have them. Please greet them and find them and tell them you love them. Leah recently, I just am going to share a little bit about what it feels like, what it looks like to use your palm tree, to use your power base of authority. Leah teaches a class, she calls it a spin class. I literally was not sure what that meant, but I think it has something to do with bicycles. She's invited me to join her, but it starts at 5:30 in the morning, so I've declined. And I actually got sore a few weeks ago from bowling, so I probably need the spin class. But at this point, I have declined to go at 5:30 to spin, whatever that means. But at her class a few weeks ago, She said she was tired after class. She had her three young girls. You want to get home, you're exhausted, but there was somebody in her class that she sensed needed something from the Lord and was ready. At that moment, Leah, who just really wanted to go and really wasn't looking for a friend, said, God's calling me out, and this is a Deborah palm tree moment. And in this moment, God is going to use me to move the heart of this young woman who's far from God closer to him. That is what discipleship is, my friends. And that, my friends, is our battle, making disciples of all nations. Leah said she spent quite a bit of time, had a strong word for this woman. Now they are becoming friends, and we have a budding relationship that can develop a child of God because Leah decided to be a hero that day, to not simply look for one, but to be one. Friends, we must make a beachhead of ministry around this city if we're going to get this task done. Good news. After Deborah, if we go to the very next scripture, and I'm going to go extremely fast through this. Deborah, she's judging the people, and all of a sudden, it is time to go to war. Our oppression is going to be over. Can I tell you, when she summoned Barak and said, let's go, let's do this thing, we're going to get our 10,000 people, we're going against these 900 chariots, which, by the way, is laughable, but by his spirit, it is possible. She said, it's ready. You know, many of the other judges who God calls out, they're not ready. But guess what? Deborah had been honing her listening ear and her speaking voice. So when it was time to call up Barak, she was ready. Poor Gideon, who came after her. I mean, he had to be called so many times. Friends, let's be ready. So when Pastor Bradford said, all right, guys, it's time to go to the next level, we want to be right there, don't we? How are we going to get right there? Don't busy yourself with programs, my friend. Find a palm tree. And find people that you can grow. Good news, Deborah and Barak won. And good news, we're winning too. They defeated the Canaanites, and there was peace in Israel. The last little verse I'm going to bring to you is this. Judges 5:7, the villagers ceased in Israel, then I, Deborah, arose as a mother of Israel. Here she is, a ruler, a prophet, a judge, and she uses very feminine language to describe how God has used her. We have no record that Deborah ever had any physical children, but Deborah arose as a mother of Israel. Can I speak to our women just for one moment and say, I saw a meme yesterday on my Facebook, and it said this. It says, women are trying to be a man in a man's world, and they're failing. And I thought to myself, nope. I want to be God's woman in God's world. And if that means I'm going to step up as a mother of Israel or a mother of Mercer and Marcus, I will arise. And I will arise from who God made me. Arise, O mothers. Arise, O fathers. God is going to use us significantly. If our musicians will come forward, our four takeaways for today are this. First of all, there we go. There are no ordinary Christ followers. Don't look for a hero, be one. Thank you, Leah, for being a hero. God's going to bring great fruit. I know I could tell probably 300 more stories of things God has used you in this week. Are you ready to step into a place where you've never been before and where no one is showing you the way? And are you willing to mentor a generation? I sometimes call this generation that I work with a Deborah generation, because I saw a young 18-year-old woman yesterday speaking a message that, can I tell you, there was such a prophetic unction behind it. I thought, God, you're doing something new in this day. Can I mentor that? Can we mentor it? Third, where is your palm tree? Where are you growing your listening ear and your speaking voice? Where are you drawing this apostate world closer to God? Friends, those of us who work potentially next door in Christendom, we've got to make space in our life for a palm tree in the world. Find a place and step into it. Lastly, rise up, O mothers. Rise up, O fathers. Be who God has called you to be. Lead how God's called you to lead. Follow how God's called you to follow. Stay where God's called you to stay. Go where He's called you to go. Rise up, O mothers. Rise up, O fathers. There is a wind of the Spirit behind our back, and there is a trembling under our feet. The question is, will we be passed over? I say no. Let's step in, my friends.